This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more. Done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
We know you're uncertain about psychics. Is this fortune teller you found on a forum legit?
Your one true love is...
me!
That's why California psychics reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work with us. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. New customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. So, experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
At Sierra, discover joyous deals on great gifts for everyone on your list, like cozy slippers, ski gear, fishing poles, bikes, large kayaks, even larger canoes. Whew, which might lead to another discovery. Wrapping gifts is the only sport you need to stay fit this season. Tis the season to discover great gifts at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
This episode is brought to you by White Claw Surge. Nice choice hitting up this podcast. No surprises, you're all about diving into tastes everyone in the room can enjoy. Just like White Claw Surge. It's for celebrating those moments when connections have been made and the night's just begun. With bold flavors and 8% alcohol by volume, unleash the night. Unleash White Claw Surge. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavors. 8% alcohol by volume. White Claw Seltzer Works. Chicago, Illinois.
It's the amazing Rico Bronya podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
It is another brand spanking new episode of Rico Bronya, episode number 594. Does that mean we should have a party for 600? Should we have a big celebration when we get to the big 600, which at this pace could be in a week? Who the hell knows? But welcome into the Rico Bronya. A couple of things we are going to heavily focus on today. We're going to do a deep dive on the starting pitching trade market. I feel like we've danced around it. We've talked on the edges about this over the last month or so, whether names like Tarik Skubal and Freddy Peralta, guys like that. Today, we're diving in deep. We'll talk about those obvious names and maybe some other names that we haven't even thought of who could be available via trade. To go along with it, we'll start off with Kodai Senga, because Will Salmon of The Athletic threw out an interesting little piece on Sunday afternoon about how Kodai Senga wants to remain a New York Met. Now, a couple of things about that. Number one, it doesn't matter. To quote The Rock back in the day, Kodai Senga, do you want to remain a New York Met? It doesn't matter what you want. I mean, it's not like this is the NBA. So Kodai Senga wanting to remain with the Mets is cool, I guess. It's nice that he doesn't want to be forcing his way out. But the decision to trade Kodai Senga is going to be David Stearns' decision. But that little piece from Will Salmon is at least interesting to know that despite the last 2 years, which have been incredibly frustrating for us as fans, and I'm sure frustrating for Kodai as well, when you think about barely pitching at all in 2024 and not being a part of the fun that was the 2024 season. And then last year was peculiar. That's how I would define the season, peculiar. He was really good early, suffers the fluke injury, comes back in a reasonable amount of time, and is just a completely different pitcher to the point where he accepts going to the minor leagues. And then after going to the minor leagues and the Mets having basically no pitching options in the major leagues, they keep him down there, which if you listen to the Rico, you know, I questioned a lot. Like, why not? Why not bring him back? So I guess it's good to hear that Kodai is committed to the organization. Here is the way I view the Kodai Senga trade market, if I have not made it clear on previous Ricos. I like Kodai Senga. And I think in a lot of ways, as we do this deep dive into the starting pitching trade market, you're going to notice that there are a few names out there that may be interesting to you or interesting to me who fit the Kodai Senga mold. Now, what is the Kodai Senga mold in my mind? He's the potential ace. And we're going to hit a lot of names who kind of fit that. The potential ace. A guy who is not, I'll get the baseball every 6 days, no problem, because that has not been the case with Kodai Senga. But someone who, between his stuff, his age, also having a reasonable contract in which you're not going to have to pay him in the next 5 minutes, kind of fits that mold of a guy who you could acquire and could become that dominant ace. So trading that guy away, someone who had such a great rookie season, somebody who gave you those flashes last year in the first half, and somebody who does not make a crazy amount of money and is under your control for the next 2 years. When you package it that way, why would you be in a rush to trade him? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. So my view on this is I'd rather not trade him. But as I've said before, I'll listen on anybody. And if the Mets are able to get a compelling offer back for Kodai Senga, and I admit, I don't even know what a compelling offer is. Is it prospects? Is it an outfielder now that the Mets need? I don't know. I guess I would know when I heard it. Like, if you gave me a Kodai Senga trade offer, I would certainly as a fan be able to digest it and say, oh, I'd make that trade, or oh, I would not make that trade, like we all would. So I'm in no rush to trade Kodai Senga because I think in a lot of ways, he's what the Mets need. And that's what we're going to focus on. Like, what do they need when we're talking about starting pitching? But I do want to play you a clip. We had mentioned that Adam Ottavino on his YouTube program, I think he calls it Coffee and Baseball. Remember, he made a whole hubbubaloo because of the comments that he made about Carlos Mendoza and even comments about Brandon Nimmo and how Brandon Nimmo probably wanted to be the captain and how interesting it would be to be in the room when they asked Brandon Nimmo to waive his no trade clause, which obviously he did a little over a week ago. Well, Adam Ottavino also made some interesting comments about Kodai Senga. Because again, on the surface, when you look at his age, when you look at the potential, which we have seen, and when you look at the amount of money he's making, he doesn't feel like a guy you would be in a rush to trade. So here's what Adam Ottavino had to say about Kodai Senga and the New York Mets. Take a listen.
One of the issues they have with Senga is that he's been driving a lot of his rehabs, and there's been a lot of poor communication over his rehab protocols, as well as when he feels like he's ready to go out there and pitch. He's very internally focused on mechanics to the point where he goes through stretches where it's just not the same out there because he's too focused internally and he's not competing the same way. If you get him out of inside his body and you get him focused down range, I still think he's got the best stuff on the Mets outside of McLean. So I'd be afraid to lose out on that upside. I mean, even with the crappy year he had last year in terms of how it finished and the injury in the middle.
Interesting, right? So it kind of feeds into what we assumed, which is maybe there's a frustration with how everything needs to be perfect for Kodai Senga to be successful. That He needs the extra day of rest, not something he requested, but something that the Mets felt that they needed to give him. And mechanically, if there's something slightly off, it seems to affect him. Now, the communication thing is interesting, that for whatever reason, Kodai Senga and the Mets have not been able to communicate very well on their rehab or on injuries or on what have you. That, to me, doesn't feel like enough to trade a guy away. Again, if the value is good, if they're getting a good return, I think, as Ted DiBiase used to say, everybody has a price. So I'm not sitting here telling you they can't trade him, but I would be very cautious to trade him. And I think Adam Ottavino's right. The stuff that he has makes it dangerous. And this leads to the question that we all need to kind of answer as we approach this trade market, and certainly as we talked about free agent starting pitchers on a previous Rico Bronya. What are you looking for? What do the Mets need to add to the rotation? This is very different than a year ago and 2 years ago, where they essentially didn't have a lot of guys in their rotation. And so it was almost going into the offseason needing to sign a bunch of arms. Remember 2 years ago, they had nobody. I mean, it was essentially Kodai Senga last year. And they went out and kept Sean Manaea, and they added Frankie Montas, and they signed Clay Holmes. It was very much a blank slate. That is not the case right now. The Mets right now have enough starting pitchers to basically have their rotation set right now. Now, we don't think it's good enough, right? Especially with the way the season closed. But you've got these grouping of starters, and then we can kind of work our way backwards on what they need. You've got the young guns, as I like to call it. The young guys who could be in the rotation, and if they're not in the rotation, could be in the rotation really soon. And that includes Christian Scott, Brandon Sproat, and Jonah Tong. I'm not going to include Nolan McLain because, to me, Nolan McLain is in the rotation. He is not coming. He has arrived. So you got those three guys all really close. Christian Scott coming off an injury, Sproat and Tong, maybe rushed a tad, specifically Tong, but very much capable of making an impact in 2026. And you could argue, depending on the way the rotation is laid out, any one of those three guys could make the rotation out of spring training with a good camp. Then you've got your veterans. These are the guys that, if they're on the Met roster, they're in the rotation. And we'll put Nolan McLain kind of in his own group. He's the young guy who is locked into the rotation. I'll take it a step further, and I know we've got a lot of time before we really delve into this. Barring injury, he's the opening day starting pitcher. Let me rephrase that. Barring injury and barring trading for Scooble, he's the opening day starting pitcher in my mind. So you got the three young guys who could impact this team at any point. You got Nolan McLain. And then you've got your veterans that, unless you trade them away, are in the rotation. And that being Sean Manaea, that being David Peterson, that being Clay Holmes, and that being Kodai Senga. When you do the math, that's a lot of starting pitchers. So let's work our way backwards. How many starters do they really need to add? I mean, unless they're trading guys away, are we looking at one starting pitcher they should add? And if it's only one, what kind of starter would it be? Well, to me, based on all of those guys, it would be an ace. Okay, Evan, what if you can't get an ace? What do you get? Then it probably leads towards dependability. The Met rotation lacked dependability. The Met rotation still lacks dependability. Because I just named a bunch of arms. Go through them. Nolan McLain is still going to be a rookie. The three kids we mentioned may not even make the team. Clay Holmes, year two of converted starting pitcher. You hope he can build on it. Sean Manaea coming off basically a lost 2025. And if you look at his history, good pitcher. Thought we were breaking through in 2024. Unreliable. We just talked about Kodai Senga and how you can't trust him, but his stuff is tantalizing. David Peterson was great. And then for the final month of the year was a guy that you could not put out there. He was so bad. So what that rotation lacks to me is dependability. So here's the way I view it. An ace is obviously the goal. I don't think there's any question. No one's going to argue that. There is no guarantee you can get an ace in the trade market. We went over the free agents. You can go back into the archives of the Rico Bronya. There are a lot of guys I like. I don't think any of them are aces. I'm sorry. Framber Valdez is good. He's not an ace. Dylan Cease, prior to his signing with Toronto, really solid. Not an ace. Michael King, ace potential. Not an ace. If you trade and subtract from the names we mentioned currently in the rotation, then that could give you room to add two guys. If you're willing to take one of those starting pitchers and move them to the bullpen with Clay Holmes and Sean Manaea being candidates, maybe David Peterson, probably not, then again, you could add two. But the way I rank it is I want an ace, and if I can't get an ace, I want someone that's really, really reliable. Those are the things I'm drawn in by in the free agent and the trade market. Now, let's take a look at the trade market. Before we do, I want to read some of your emails, because the one thing I don't want to do is start naming all these starting pitchers, some of which you may not have even thought of, and have someone who emailed me think I was stealing their idea. So I'm going to do the emails first. So some of the names that I thought of, I don't want to take credit for. I'm going to give it to the people. Fair enough. You like that? TheRicoB@gmail.com is our email address. Let's start it off with Zach. Zach writes, Evan Hoff, here are my trade ideas for starting pitchers that I believe are realistic and can help out the team. I'm not saying they would need to make all of these trades, but preferably one. Let's start off with New York Mets receive Yuri Perez from the Marlins for Jet Williams and Christian Scott. Let's start off with Yuri Perez. Number one, he's 22 years old. He's incredibly young. He has a lot of potential. He's under team control for a very long time, which is why I go to, why are the Marlins trading him? Now, Zach offers Jet Williams and Christian Scott, so you're certainly giving Miami a big return, and I guess the thinking would be the Marlins are so deep with starting pitching that they can use one of their young controllable pieces to kind of help yourself out elsewhere. Certainly a guy like Jet Williams does that. Where does Yuri Perez fit in kind of that, the grouping of the starter you're looking for? He's not an ace. He's not reliable yet because he's only pitched really one full year in the major leagues too. I guess if you include the parts of 2023 and the 20 starts he made in 2025. I think he's got a really impressive arm and has a chance to be really good. And bringing him in would certainly give you that team control and that chance to develop him into the next great ace. But I don't know if right now that's the kind of arm I'm looking for, because I've got young arms I'm developing who could potentially be an ace. Am I really taking a young position player who I may need, considering I weakened myself in the outfield in Jet Williams? And am I using one of the other young starting pitchers in Brandon Sproat, who I have even more control over than Yuri Perez? Am I really making that trade? And the answer to me, at least, is no. Like, unfortunately for Yuri Perez, he fits that mold of something that right now, if this was 2 years ago, I'd be all over a deal like this. But right now, I need dependability. He doesn't supply that. Trade number two, which I will tell you I'd make right now. I'm going to tell you the trade offer, but I've read it and I've already accepted it. The Mets would be trading Jet Williams, Jonah Tong, and Kodai Senga to the San Francisco Giants for Logan Webb. Logan Webb is one of those guys that probably fits the two categories I just described, in that he's reliable and he's an ace, and he signed to an incredibly reasonable contract. He signed a 5-year, $90 million deal and isn't a free agent until 2029. Logan Webb is the definition of dependability. He has now thrown, you ready for this, 3 consecutive 200-inning seasons. He perennially is the workhorse of Major League Baseball, pitching to a low to mid 3 ERA. I would make that trade. I can't see why San Francisco would. I think the Giants want to hold on to Logan Webb, and even an appealing package, which you did put together. I mean, Jonah Tong, right? He's been compared to Tim Lincecum, so that would work in San Francisco. I don't think the Giants would consider that. And the other one from Zach is Carlos Rodon, Spencer Jones, and $20 million in cash from the New York Yankees for David Peterson and Luis Angel Acuna. Boy, that is a non-starter. Why would you think the Yankees would do that? Because Carlos Rodon's got a lot of money on his deal? I don't think the Yankees would be in a rush to trade Carlos Rodon. I had floated at Yankees Red Sox with a bunch of Yankee fans. I had said, how about Rodon for Brandon Nimmo? or Rodon for, what was the other offer I think I made? I don't think the Yankees are in a rush to trade Carlos Rodon. David Ramos has the trade, and I'm so glad he brought this name up because this was a name I was so excited to write down for the Rico B's deep dive of starting pitchers, and David did it. He writes, Drew Rasmussen from the Tampa Bay Rays for Jonah Tong and Jet Williams. Contrary, it's not contrary, it's contrary. How do you pronounce that word, Hoff? Not contrary. Contrary. There you go. Contrary. He's actually about to be talking about you, Hoff. Contrary to Hoff's beliefs that the Rays are dangerous to trade with, the Mets have fleeced Tampa Bay before. Lucas Duda for Drew Smith, and look at that Brooks Raley trade. Rasmussen has Cy Young potential, and I'm not that high on Jet Williams due to strikeouts, limited power, and average defense, but he's a top prospect, so let's cash in. It's a lot to give up, but Drew would be our number one. Here's the thing about Drew Rasmussen. He is 31 years old in July, so age-wise, you know, prime of his career. He is making an absurdly low $5.7 million this upcoming season, which is insanely low. And then there is a team option on him for $8 million. But there's all sorts of 2026 games started incentives that can really bring up his salary. Last year, Rasmussen was one of the better pitchers in the American League. He made 31 starts, threw 150 innings, got Cy Young votes, and pitched to a 2.76 ERA. In fact, the story of Drew Rasmussen's career specifically with Tampa is that he's really good when he pitches. The problem is staying on the field, which is why he's got all these incentives baked into his contract. Here's what they are. You ready for this? Because it really adds up. I thought it was fascinating. If he makes, or if he has, less than 75 plus days on the IL with arm-related injuries, he would get $2.5 million. If it's 45 or less on the IL with arm-related injuries, it's $4.5 million. And then 15 or less arm-related IL days, or 45 in total, that's $6 million that's poked onto his contract. He's also got a game started cumulative. If he makes 8 starts, it's $500,000. 7 starts, $750,000. 16 starts, $1 million. 24 starts, $1.2 million. And 28 starts, $1.5 million. So Tampa Bay in this contract really protected themselves and said, if the guy pitches, he's worth every dime, which has been the case. But if he doesn't, it's not a high salary. Where does Drew Rasmussen fit on that dependability or that's an ace? And the answer is he doesn't fit in either of them. I'm drawn in by him because he doesn't make a lot of money and because he has pitched like an ace. It's just that it's really more potential than anything else because he hasn't done it on any kind of consistent basis. And so it's an interesting offer. I'm just really hesitant to be aggressive in making a trade for guys that are risky. I mean, they're not that dependability that this team needs.
Starting a business can seem like a daunting task, unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into... Sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Trade number three is for Cole Ragans. Cole Ragans is the guy who I had predicted would win the American League Cy Young in 2025. That did not work out. He got hurt and pitched to a 4 ERA. Let me get this guy's name again. David writes, Mark Vientos, David Peterson, and Nick Morabito to Kansas City for Cole Ragans. Ragans is under team control until 2029, so it would have to be an overpay, but Kansas City might want an offensive boost. I was reading the other day that the Royals want outfield help. So unfortunately, the Mets don't really match up in that regard unless they're willing to trade Carson Benj, which I don't think they are, especially the way David Stearns has talked him up as someone that may be a starter coming out of spring training. Yeah, I'd be intrigued by Cole Ragans, but again, it falls into that same kind of category of not being overly reliable. The guy in Kansas City who I think they're most likely to trade, assuming the Royals are trading a starting pitcher, is not Cole Ragans, because I also don't think it makes sense to trade him coming off a bad year and coming off a year in which he missed a lot of time. I don't think they're going to try to trade one of their veterans. The guy they're going to try to trade is Chris Bubich. And Chris Bubich was having a tremendous year last year until he got hurt. I think it was a rotator cuff injury. He is 28 years old. He'll be 29 in August. He's got one more year of team control, which is why I think Kansas City would be open to trading him. Before injury last year, he pitched to a 2.55 ERA in 20 starts. Again, great potential, showed a little bit of it last year, but the problem is this team needs dependability. And so far, the names we're going through do not provide dependability. So let's go to the freaking top of the mountain then. If there's holes to poke in Drew Rasmussen, and there's holes to poke in Cole Ragans, and there's holes to poke in Chris Bubich, and there's holes to poke in Yuri Perez, let's go to Tarek Skubal. And let's at least have a nice couple of minute discussion about him. Are the Detroit Tigers going to trade him? I don't even think they know. Because, and my opinion on this has not changed from a month ago, which is I think the Detroit Tigers are in a spot in which they'd rather not trade him, but they also realize that if they're not going to be able to re-sign him, And are they willing to go into the area of $400 million? Because that's what it's going to take. When you look at what Yamamoto got, I'm going to give you, here are my comps on why Scooble's going to ask for the moon. Yamamoto, I get it, he was younger, but had done nothing at the major league level and got the money he got. Dylan Cease, who, I'm sorry, Dylan Cease is not half the pitcher Tarek Skubal is. Gerrit Cole. I think those are the numbers and names that Scott Boras is going to use, and that may scare off Detroit, because Detroit may realize, and really this is an ownership question, we're not going to be able to pay him. So we can let this play out. We can try to win a World Series in 2026, which they can, they could, they can go all in. That's a phrase we love to use around here, but understand we're going to lose him as a free agent. That is absolutely a choice they can make. But what I think Detroit is going to do, and I've been consistent on this, is they're going to listen, but they are not in a spot where they have to pull the trigger, but they'll listen. They'll listen to what the Mets have to say. They'll listen to what the Dodgers have to say. They listen to what the Red Sox have to say. And unless they get a monster offer, they're not going to trade him. So I was doing some research, and I'm reading it off a paper because I wrote it down, of some other ace trades to get a comp. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go through some of these comps. I don't think there is a comp, because with all of the names I'm about to mention, all the aces that were traded with a year or two of control left, those teams had to trade those players. I think the Tigers are different. Let's start with Corbin Burns. We love to hear the Corbin Burns comp. The Corbin Burns comp doesn't work because, A, he didn't have two Cy Youngs the way Skubal had. And I think the Brewers had decided, we're trading him. We're not going to ride the hand of possibly keeping him for a year. So they got back DL Hall, Joey Ortiz, and I think international bonus pool money. Tyler Glasnow was traded with a year of control, and I think same thing. The Tampa Bay Rays had to trade him. They got back Ryan Pepiot and Johnny DeLuca. The White Sox traded Chris Sale, but here's the difference. 3 years left of team control, and they got back a massive return, even if it didn't really work out. It was a massive return at the time, but it didn't work out. Yoan Moncada, Michael Kopech, Victor Diaz, and another prospect. Johan Santana, we obviously all remember that. Same thing. I think the Twins had to trade him. I don't think there was somewhere in the middle where they said, let's ride it out. And, of course, the Mets traded Philip Umber, Carlos Gomez, and Deilson Guerrero. The Mike Hampton trade, which we all remember, or at least if you're old enough to remember it, you'll remember it. Year of team control left, Roger Cedeño and Octavio Dotel, which was a lot because those two guys were major leaguers at the time. Cedeño was coming off a year in which he set the stolen base record in Met history, and Dotel was nicknamed Mini Pedro. And then the other one is Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole was traded from the Pirates to the Astros with 2 years left of control. I honestly don't think that Skubal has a comp here. So I've heard a lot about those returns that I just mentioned, saying, Evan, how much do you really think the Mets have to give up? More than all of that. So the deal I had offered about a month ago, which was me just trying to come together with an offer that would make Detroit say yes, was two guys off the major league roster, specifically David Peterson, to fill the Skubal role. And years match up. Peterson has 1 year left of team control. If they prefer Kodai Senga, fine, Kodai Senga. They probably would prefer Kodai Senga. If you're trading away an ace like Skubal and you're trying to still win, which is a very tough balance, you're trying to win, you're also restocking your system, you know, you're balancing the two. Senga with 2 years of team control and the ace potential probably is more appealing. I also included Alvarez, which I really don't want to include because now the Mets are creating a new hole they have to address. So let's say Brett Beatty. And then one of the outfield prospects, Benz or Jet Williams, and one of the pitching prospects, not named McClain, Sprout, Scott, or Tom. I think that's a lot. Now, I'm not even telling you that gets it done, but I think that's the kind of offer that the Mets have to make to get this thing done. Because I do think, unlike all of these other comps, the Detroit Tigers are going to sit back with their feet on the table and say, we don't have to trade him. And we're not going to trade him unless we get this massive return. So my level of confidence in getting Skubal is not extremely high. I'd give the Mets a puncher's chance because I think that there's that opportunity for Detroit to say, you know what? That is such a good offer. We'll do it. We'd rather do that versus let's give it a shot for 1 year and lose him as a free agent for a comp pick. So I think we all agree Skubal's the number one target. I do think that the price tag I offered is probably what it would take. Now, speaking of Tarik Skubal, David from Highbridge, New Jersey writes, Evan, do you think that Skubal being in the American League and the Tigers directly competing with the Yankees would give the Mets an advantage over them to trade for Skubal, even if they like the Yankees offer more? To a degree. And, you know, I'm not just going to use the Yankees. I would say any other American League team, let's say the Red Sox are another good example. I think that when you're making a high-stakes trade like this, you have to take the best offer. But what I would say is the tiebreaker goes to the Mets. Much like in the Corbin Burnes case, I think that they targeted an American League team. And that gets us to the second ace who may be available, Freddy Peralta. It's a little bit different because even though the chances of the Brewers re-signing him are limited, Freddy Peralta makes so little money this season that it's not crazy for the Brewers to say, you know what? We came so close last year. We got to the National League Championship Series. We have an ace type pitcher in the prime of his career. Let's just try to win a championship. Let's try to win. And he doesn't make a lot of money. So I'm not as confident the Brewers are going to trade Freddy Peralta. I would actually be more confident, giving this a lot of thought, in the Tigers trading Skubal than the Brewers trading Peralta. Now, a good follow-up to me would be, why would you say that? I think the offers for Skubal are going to be so much higher. So even though both teams made the playoffs last year, Brewers in the NLCS, Tigers in the ALDS, both teams could conceivably say we're trying to win a world championship, so we'll just take the draft pick compensation, we're good. I think it's going to be more difficult for Detroit to pass up the crazy offers they're going to get because they're going to get massive offers. I think the Brewers are going to get offers for Freddy Peralta that are similar to the offers they got for Corbin Burnes. I don't think it's the same. Peralta had a great year last year. He finished fifth in the Cy Young voting, pitched to a 2.70 ERA through 176 innings. I mean, that's an ace. And if you look at what he's done over the last 3 years, he's taken the ball every 5 days, 30 starts, 32 starts, 33 starts. Hasn't pitched quite like this ace, but I think he fits the dependability card we talk about, plus, at least off of last year, the ace-like card. But I don't think he gets you the Skubal return. And that's what leads me to believing that the Brewers will hold on to him. But I think both of those guys fit the aces. Let's see who else I have written down that fit the aces. Oh, wait. Nah. Oh, Paul Skeens. Should we do a few minutes on Paul Skeens?
I'd like to do a few minutes on Paul Skeens, yes.
Well, take it away. Girl, give me your few minutes on Paul Skeens.
Well, are we going to do it? You want me to give you an offer, or you want me to give you why they need Paul Skeens?
I think we all know why the Mets or any other team would need Paul Skeens. So I'll ask you two questions. Yes, your offer. And then B, why you think the Pirates would trade him? Because I laid out my reasons for why Detroit would, why Peralta and the Brewers could, but I don't think they will. We've even done that with some of these other teams on why these guys would even be traded. Like in the Yuri Perez case, the Marlins have a lot of pitching. They may look to add up in other areas. So give me those two things, why the Pirates would trade him and obviously what your godfather offer would entail.
Well, it would be the only reason why they would trade Paul Skeens is because of the offer that you're giving. And it's simply not because of Paul Skeens is a great player. They're not going to sign him to a big term contract. We know that. So they're going to try to hold on to him as long as possible. You get a lot for him right now. I mean, he gets closer to free agency, which he's not even close to it. You're always worried about injury, what happens that you can't trade him last minute. They're not close to building a team that's competitive for the playoffs. unless you start to give them guys like Brandon Sproat, Christian Scott, Jonah Tong, Carson Bench.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron... There's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Give those four guys, it's tough to say no.
Black Friday savings are here at the Home Depot, which means it's time to add new cordless power to your collection. Right now, when you buy a select battery kit from one of our top brands like Ryobi or Milwaukee, you'll get a select tool from that same brand for free. Click into one of our best deals of the season and stock up on tools for all your upcoming projects. Get Black Friday savings happening now at the Home Depot. Limit one per transaction. Exclusions apply. Full eligible tool list in-store and online.
Doug.
Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
I think you'd have to offer more. I think that this would be arguably maybe the biggest return you'd have to give up for a player, considering how good he is, how young he is, how much team control is there. I think every team in baseball would bid on him too. I think that this would be one of those trade markets that would feature everybody. The Marlins would be in on him. Why not? I mean, there's so much team control left that I don't think that you short this to just the big market teams. So number one, I think this would, if the Pirates ever got to him, ever got to the decision of trading him, it would basically be something none of us can control, because it would be the Pittsburgh Pirates deciding which farm system they like the most. Because once they announce it, let's say they think to themselves, you know what, the farm system we love the most, the A's. I'm just throwing it out there. He's going to be an A, because even the A's moving into a new ballpark in a few years would just write that blank check to Pittsburgh. So I think the battle the Mets would face is that every team in the sport would bid on him. Number two, as far as why the Pirates should do it, this is tough. We all know inevitably he's not going to be a Pittsburgh Pirate, right? Like that's probably the greatest argument one could make, but they've got 4 years. 4 years of control. And in baseball, if you could just hit on a couple of young players, make a couple of, you know, decent moves in free agency the year the Pirates say, you know what, we'll spend a few bucks, you could win. So why not try in the next 2 to 3 years to win? And then if you don't, and now there's only a year left of control, you can still get a massive return. Is there injury risk? Of course there is. But think about this. What's the bigger risk? Him getting hurt and hurting his value, or the risk of missing out on a chance to win because you got one of the best young pitchers in baseball? So I don't think they're going to trade him, at least now. If I had to guess long term, I think they're going to trade him before the 2028 season. So I think they'll give themselves 2 more years at the Apple, and the return they'll get in 2 years will still be massive. So the only risk they have is injury. So, yeah, he's a guy I want, you want, we all want him. We all know that. I just don't think the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to be open to it yet.
I get it, but on the other hand, too, like if you just said, if they love someone's farm system and they're willing to give the entire farm for Paul Skenes, I mean, how do you not do it? Because that transforms your team. Paul Skenes is a moneymaker. He is a big ticket item. Everybody wants to see him. I mean, he makes the Pirates relevant right now, but that's it. You still don't you want to win, but I guess you don't.
Well, no, you can try to win with this brilliant young pitcher on your team. If you believe Jeff Passan's reporting from a few weeks ago, the Pirates were prepared to spend. They were prepared to try to win. So we'll see. I just don't think it's a realistic thing right now. To me, I'd love them. We'd all love them. It'd be great. But that's the last of the aces, in my opinion. I mean, Hunter Green, the thing about Hunter Green, and we talked about him early in this offseason because the Reds general manager had talked about how he didn't rule out trading Hunter Green. And I started doing some research on what the hell's going on in Cincinnati. Like, why would they think of trading Hunter Green, especially considering his contract? Here's his contract, by the way. He's making $8 million this year, 2026. Then it's 15, then it's 16, and then there's a team option at $21 million. 4 years of team control. He is signed through the 2029 season. To put that in perspective, the Reds have as much team control in Hunter Green as the Pirates do in Paul Skenes. So why would they trade him? A 26-year-old stud. And the answer is he isn't reliable. He does not make full season starts. Last year, he was great. We saw him dominate the Mets at the end of the season. He strikes out 11, 12 guys per game. He only made 19 starts. The year before that was the closest thing we've ever seen to a full season from Hunter Green. He made 26 starts. And the year before that, he made 22 starts. So you're looking at somebody that has not had a 30-start season yet. Hunter Green does not have reliability. But I think Hunter Green has proven that when he takes the baseball, he is an ace-like figure. And because he's so young, 26 years old, and there's so much control over him, I would absolutely bid big on Hunter Green. Does that break my own rule in that he doesn't provide reliability and he's an ace, but if you're not reliable, what does that mean? Aren't you basically Kodai Senga? Maybe so. Maybe I do break my own rule for Hunter Green. But if he's available, I would pursue that highly. But understand the risks that come with it, which is not that we're predicting an injury, but that he's had injuries because he hasn't pitched a full season.
But again, here's the issue with the whole ace argument right now is most of these guys that you're going to go even to on the next level, they're going to be aces compared to what the Mets currently have right now. So yes, Hunter Green may not be reliable, but he's amazing when he pitches. You can't say that about Kodai Senga.
Yes, you can.
Say that about Kodai Senga?
I would say other than, look, Kodai Senga's made how many starts as a New York Met? I'll give you the exact number instead of just
72.
Guessing. 72. What is the number?
72, I'm guessing.
That's your guess?
Yes.
That's a terrible guess. He pitched one full season and then got hurt.
Oh, sorry.
52.
Close. That's not as bad as you thought.
You're 20 starts off. How's that close?
He's been here for 5 years. He should be like 100 starts, right?
He's been here for 3 years, not 5 years.
Okay.
So he's made 52 starts and he's pitching to an even 3 ERA, right? And his last seven starts last year, 8-9 starts, is really where it backfired. So it's fair to say that in 40 of his 50 starts, Kodai Senga pitched like an ace. That's 80% of the time. So, no, he is unreliable, but when he takes the baseball, he's 80% of the time been really, really good.
I mean, here's the thing, though. He's pitched 3 years, 285 innings we're talking about here.
But don't change our argument. That's my point. He's not reliable. Hunter Green fits that bill too. We're talking about reliability versus pitching like an ace. You even said you may not get reliability, but guys who can pitch like an ace. What I'm trying to tell you is until Senga got hurt, so we're talking about his last 9 starts last year, when he took the ball, he pitched like an ace, right? Maybe not an ace in terms of going deep into games, but an ace in terms of pitching to a 1.39 ERA. Dude, his ERA was 1.39 on July 11th. Is that an ace? What is that? How would you define that?
You're accurate. The only difference is I would say that I would argue Hunter Green, I feel, goes longer in games where,
yeah,
what I say, it's like pulling teeth.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm saying they're similar in that they're not reliable.
Right. But reliability, and we're
what do you want?
Things here.
What do you want? Like, we've gone through a bunch of names. We got a few more to go through. Do you want a guy who could potentially be an ace, but doesn't take the ball every 5 days? Or would you be more prone to say, give me the guy who will throw me 200 innings, take the baseball every 5 days? He's not an ace. He pitches to a mid 3 ERA, but I need that reliability for this rotation. What's more important to you?
I need both.
Well, that's right. Only Tarik Skobel.
Well, no, I need two different. I need two pitchers like that. Okay. I need one that could do one that I'll take the risk for, and then the other that's going to give you at least the innings. And so I still feel like we need two people. And I've read that, like, hey, it's more likely only one. I need two.
Well, it's only one if they don't move off of some of the pitchers they currently have on their roster. So trading Kodai Senga may be a part of it. I don't think they'll trade Sean Manaea. I think David Peterson has intriguing trade value. Again, I like David Peterson. I like Kodai Senga. It's not about I want to get rid of them. It's about what value do they provide. David Peterson only has 1 year left of team control, but he doesn't make a lot of money. And again, he was great last year until the very end. So as a lefty, do teams view David Peterson as a valuable piece? And then for us, would it be, is it worth trading him? Now, I got a guy, and this guy's been mentioned a lot, so this is not me creating something. This is a name I'm sure all of us have heard, who could kind of fit the bill on both, on the reliability and is close to being an ace. And that is Joe Ryan of the Minnesota Twins. Joe Ryan has 2 years left of team control. He's currently 29 years old. He'll be 30 in the middle of June. So you get him for 2 years. Here are his last couple of years, what he's done. Last year, best year of his career, 30 starts, 171 innings, made the All-Star team, pitched to a 3.42 ERA. The year before that, made 23 starts, pitched to a 3.6 ERA. Year before that, 29 starts, 4.5 ERA. So you've seen him get better over the last 3 years. And before that, 2022, his first full year in the major leagues, 27 starts, 3.55 ERA. What I like about Joe Ryan, besides the obvious, which is 2 years of team control, doesn't make a ton of money, is that it feels like he's trending towards that workhorse, or ace. Not everyone is a workhorse until they become one, if that makes any sense. So like everybody else, I think Joe Ryan is certainly a name to keep an eye on. Certainly I'd be willing to, I think I'd go one of my top pitching prospects and then maybe two lower to mid-level prospects to get a deal done for Ryan. I think you put him towards the very top of the rotation. His teammate is Pablo Lopez. Pablo Lopez, a guy we're certainly familiar with. We've seen him a lot. He's young. Considering he's been around what feels like for a very long time, Mets have seen so much of Pablo Lopez. I was almost surprised when I saw that he's 29 years old. He will be 30 before opening day. Lopez also 2 years left of his contract of team control, making an incredibly reasonable $21.7 million. The issue with Lopez is that he got hurt last year, but I'm not overly concerned about it because Pablo Lopez's track record before that was as an innings eater. 180 innings in his last year in Miami, 3.75 ERA. 194 innings in his first year in Minnesota, made the All-Star team, even got Cy Young votes, finished with a 3.66 ERA. 185 innings, 4.08 ERA in 24. And then last year, he pitched really well but got hurt and only made 14 starts, pitched to a 2.74 ERA. I think Lopez fits, despite missing time last year, as the reliability that this team could use. How about Jose Berríos? We almost forget that Jose Berríos even exists because if you watched a lot of the Blue Jays in the postseason, you didn't see him. And there was a point, I think halfway through the postseason, where I said to myself, what the hell happened to Jose Berríos? Like, where's he? We talked about him last year as a trade target. And I went up and I looked at his numbers and I saw a guy that did what he does every year. He made 30 starts. He does that every single year. And here's the good part about Jose Berríos and why I'm actually very intrigued by him. I don't think it's going to cost the Mets a lot. Berríos only has really one guaranteed year left in his on his contract, $19 million. $19 million. That's $6 million less than Sean Manaea. There's a opt-out for him in 2027 where I guess he could make $24 million. And if he opts in, then another $24 million in 2028. But he is the definition of reliability. Four consecutive years of making 30-plus starts. Now, the ERA is all over the place. 5.23, 3.65, 3.60, 4.17. His strikeout numbers have been pretty consistent. His walk numbers, a tick up this past season, but for the most part, pretty consistent. He fits the bill of reliability. And if you look at the current state of the Toronto Blue Jays, when you see Savage and Gausman, and obviously they make the move for Dylan Cease, I don't think they need him anymore. So I think the Blue Jays could very well go to the trade market and say, who wants him? Who's interested in him? I'd have a level of interest in Berríos because he fits the reliability factor that we talk about. Another guy who fits the reliability factor, it's the Pittsburgh Pirate pitcher that maybe doesn't excite you as much as the other one, and that is Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller will be 30 years old early in this upcoming season. He is also signed to a pretty reasonable contract. He signed through the 2028 season, signed a 5-year, $77 million contract. His numbers are not great, but the numbers that I guess matter to me when we talk about reliability are in 2022, 29 starts. In 2023, 32 starts. In 2024, 31 starts. And this past year, 32 starts. His ERA is always in the low fours, so that part isn't great. His whip is usually pretty high, 1.213. But if you think about reliability, that's a guy who doesn't make an absurd amount of money, who takes the baseball every 5 days. Another guy is Sandy Alcantara. I kind of waited to the end with Sandy because we've talked so much about him. Sandy Alcantara, I never thought it made sense for the Marlins to trade him last year. Never did. Whenever we talked about him, I always ran skeptical that Miami would trade a guy coming off of Tommy John surgery. He has a terrible first half. Again, thought the same thing going into the trade deadline. Does it really make sense for Miami to trade him? I think it now does because he's got 2 years left of team control. So the more you move kind of time, the less control one has over him. When it's 1 year of control, doesn't feel as appealing. But they've got 2 years left of Alcantara, $17.2 million and then $21 million. But what's appealing about him, if I'm Miami and moving him, is that he was a different pitcher in the second half. And we saw Alcantara take it to that almost pre-injury level with the way he pitched in the second half of the season. I like him. I run very skeptical on him being traded inside the division, which leads me to Mackenzie Gore. Mackenzie Gore's name has been mentioned an awful lot here during the offseason. His name even was bantied about a little bit before the trade deadline. I'm very confused on why Washington would be interested in trading him. Mackenzie Gore was one of the bigger names in the Juan Soto trade. He comes over, and he's been good. He's been impressive. In his first full season with the Nationals in 2023, as a 24-year-old lefty, with a lot of pressure, being one of the big names in the Soto trade, he makes 27 starts, pitches to a 4.4 ERA, but strikes out 10 guys per nine. Comes back in 2024, pitches to a 3.9 ERA. Again, huge strikeout numbers, really good year. This past year was a very odd season. His final numbers are a 4.17 ERA, a career-high 10.4 strikeouts per nine innings. But what was weird about what happened to Mackenzie Gore is that he completely fell off in the second half of the season. In the first half of the year, Mackenzie Gore was 4-8 with a 3.02 ERA. In the second half of the year, he was 1-7 with a 6.75 ERA and a whip of 1.7. His strikeouts were down. His walks were through the roof. I don't know what happened. Is there something that concerns new management in Washington, maybe? Or is it the Nationals saying to themselves, look, we've got a guy who's got 3 years left of control, or I should say only 2 years left of control. Yeah, he's got 2 years of arbitration left, and then he's a free agent. And maybe they realize we're not going to pay him. He's only 27 now, or he'll be 27 before the season starts. So think about that, 27, age 28. He'll be a free agent going into his age 29 season. You have to think that's a guy who's going to get paid, even if he just continues what he's done the last couple of years. So maybe the Nationals just know in advance we're not giving him $150 million, and so let's cash out now. Let's trade him for a lot, because you'd have to think they'd get a lot for him. Or is it something else? Are they seeing something in him that's deeply concerning? Now, I know Mike Rizzo isn't there anymore, so this was always a Mike Rizzo thing. Are they trading him to the New York Mets? Are they trading him inside the division? I don't know if I buy it. And I know the Marlins have made plenty of trades inside the division, just getting back to Alcantara. They certainly did it with Jesus Luzardo. It feels like there's going to be a tax on a team trading for Mackenzie Gore if they're in the National League East. Would I have interest in him if there was no tax? Sure. I mean, I'm talking about a lefty who had a great first half of the year last year, who's continuing to grow. Even if he isn't an ace yet, I think the early part of his career at least gives you the reliability of taking the baseball every 5 days. But I don't think there's going to be a match with the Mets. That would just be my guess. Let me give you another trade guy to keep an eye on, and that is Nick Pivetta. Nick Pivetta signed a 4-year, $55 million contract last year in free agency. He was a name we talked about the Mets targeting, and I don't think any of us were that excited about it. We looked at Pivetta's last 3 years, and he was reliable but wasn't great. Well, Pivetta had a monster year last year, got Cy Young votes, finished with a 2.87 ERA, making 31 starts. Maybe Nick Pivetta is a warning sign to us in a discussion like this. Hey, if there is a guy who is reliable but is pretty average, maybe this is the year he puts it all together. Maybe Mitch Keller kind of fits that. Pivetta would certainly fit the reliability factor. The Padres are trying to win, so you're probably looking at a return that helps them in the short term. So let me see. Have I gotten everybody? Oh, wait, there's a few more. Should we address Jacob deGrom? Should we just get that out of the way? Get it out of the way. It's the last 5 minutes of the podcast. The Texas Rangers are not trading Jacob deGrom. Jacob deGrom being on that phone with Brandon Nimmo and convincing him to waive his no-trade clause and telling him about how great Dallas is, Dallas-Fort Worth, and the taxes he'll save and how beautiful the city and the town is, the deGrom thing is not happening. Despite talk of the Rangers trying to save money, and now the Mets and the Rangers having a great relationship. Same thing with Nate Eovaldi, who is 36 years old, coming off a great year before his season ended early with that, I think it was a rotator cuff injury. He also has a full no trade Evaldi, $29 million this upcoming season, $24 million in 2026. I would try 2027. Would I trade for him? Of course I would. But I think those are two guys that will be brought up because of the thought that Texas would cut salary. I don't see either of them being traded. Yusei Kikuchi. You'd have to think after Yusei Kikuchi went and ripped the Angels organization for bad air conditioning, and then the GM came out and said he's a liar, essentially, that they'd be interested in trading him. Kikuchi had a really solid year last year. 178 innings, was an all-star, pitched to a sub-4 ERA. I've never been a big fan of Kikuchi, but I certainly could see the Angels dealing him. How much time does he have left on his contract? He has 26 and 27 left, making a little over $20 million per season. And then we get to our annual discussion of Luis Castillo of the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners, as always, obviously they came very close to getting a World Series this year, but as always, surplus in pitching. Would they dare deal their surplus in starting pitching for a bat? The Mariners, I would think, would be more likely to want to trade Luis Castillo than anyone else. Castillo is on a reasonable deal. He's making $24 million this year, $24 million next year, and then there's a vesting option in 2028 that would only vest if he pitches, basically. If he throws 180 innings in 2027, it vests. If Castillo misses 130-plus days in 25 through 27 due to a UCL injury, then it's only a $5 million team option. So bottom line is, if he's unhealthy, that won't be picked up. If he is healthy and throws 170 innings, then you probably wouldn't complain about a $25 million option. The concern around Luis Castillo, and this has been going on for years now, are the wild splits between home and road. Safeco Field had always been known as such a good pitcher's ballpark, and Luis Castillo's kind of backed that up with performance. Last year, at home, 17 starts, 2.60 ERA, 0.9 whip. That is Cy Young caliber. 15 starts on the road, 4.71 ERA, and a whip of 1.4. Not good. I like Castillo because of the reliability that this rotation needs. And really, that's where I'm at when I look at what this rotation needs. This rotation needs, if they can't get Tarik Skubal, who fits all of it, reliability. Somebody that you can have confidence can take the ball 30 times. That's what Kodai Senga doesn't have. That's what Sean Manaea doesn't have. That's what basically nobody in this rotation has. So, obviously, if you've listened, there are some exceptions. Guy like Hunter Green, I would take the risk on. But for the most part, when you look at this trade market, I am more drawn in by the guys that can give me the reliability, even if they're not pitching to 2.5 ERAs. Because before we could talk about beating the Dodgers and matching up with Blake Snell in a postseason series, you got to get there. And there are a lot of reasons why the Mets failed to make the playoffs in 2025. And I think if they had just a smidge more of reliability, if they had added somebody who could take the baseball every 5 days, even if they're not dominant, but could take it every 5 days and keep you in a game, and the Mets win a handful more games because they have that, obviously, they're a playoff team. What happens in the playoffs? I hate to say it's a crapshoot. I know Brian Cashman takes a lot of crap for saying it, but it is pretty true. Luis Severino, by the way, is another name I almost forgot about because the A's could very well trade him. So I think I touched on it all. If there are names I missed and you want us to talk about it on a future Rico, certainly let us know. TheRicoB@gmail.com. But yeah, if I'm ranking kind of who I'd be most excited about, I think Tarik Skubal is number one. I would say Hunter Green, just because of that contract and the potential, would be number two. But then you're talking about Freddy Peralta and Joe Ryan. And then after that, it's all those reliability guys that maybe doesn't appeal to the masses. Your thoughts? Who do you prefer? Who would you want to stay away from? You can email us, TheRicoB@gmail.com. We'll also do a deep dive on the position player market. something the Mets may have to be aggressive in now, since they clearly need an outfielder after the Brandon Nimmo trade. So we'll do that coming up in just a few days. We are a week away from the winter meetings where things will certainly heat up. And also coming up soon, we will finally decide on our Rico rewatchable. We have had a lot of ideas on an old Met game we should all rewatch. I'll tell you this, Hoff, you'll get a kick out of this. One of the emails I got, and the guy was joking, suggested we rewatch, in honor of the potential lockout coming up, a replacement player spring training game between the Yankees and the Mets. And so when he sent the email, this was last night, I was like, really? This is out there? So I clicked on it and I fell asleep to Yankees Mets replacement player spring training.
Was it exciting?
It was awful.
Who pitched? Was Bobby Jones there?
Bobby Jones? Bobby M. Jones or Bobby J. Jones?
No, who is the pitcher that was a replacement player?
Rick Reed was a replacement
player. Rick Reed, yes, that's who.
But he wasn't a replacement player with the Mets. Believe it or not, and I had no recollection of this, and this is for some of the older Met fans. The guy who started Mets versus Yankees was former Met reliever Doug Sisk. Doug Sisk started the spring training game against the Yankees, but bro, none of these names were recognizable. And what I really found interesting was not the game, but was how Gary Thorne and Ralph Kiner talked about it. Like, how were they going to approach it? And I thought they did a great job. Like, Gary Thorne started by saying, look, we're not going to pull any punches. This is sad. This is not ideal. Dallas Green was managing for the Mets. I almost forgot. Yeah, the regular managers managed outside of Sparky Anderson, who I think opted out. And Dallas Green was like, yeah, not ideal.
You know what? That actually, I would almost say we should do a rewatch of the last game in 94.
Yeah. I don't even know like anything about that game. Like I remember the build up to the strike and knowing it was coming, but I don't have any memory of how the end occurred. Maybe because I didn't think it was going to be the end. Like I just assumed, oh, there'll be a strike and you know, my dad told me what happened in 1981. No biggie. Like they'll be back in a few weeks. But yeah, we'd have to look for that one on YouTube. That's a random one to watch. And you know who we would get to see in that game? Rico Bronya.
We should watch it with Rico.
That would be something. Rico rewatchable with Rico Bronya. We got a lot of ideas popping for this offseason.
Woo!
Anyhow, you can email us to ricob@gmail.com, ricob@gmail.com. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
Monster Energy. Everybody knows White Monster, Zero Ultra. That's the OG. It kicked off this whole zero sugar energy drink thing. But Ultra is a whole lineup now. You've got Strawberry Dreams, Blue Hawaiian, Sunrise, and Vice Guava. And they all bring the Monster Energy punch. So if you've been living in the white can, branch out. Ultra's got a flavor for every vibe. And every single one is zero sugar. Tap the banner to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.